The newspaper columnist Anna Quiblin once wrote a story for the New York Times in which she wrote about a daycare center located in Jersey City. The name of the center is The Nurturing Place. And in her column, she writes of the Roman Catholic sister-run center that serves children that many other centers would turn away. It serves children whose families are homeless and children whose families have no address. She writes of a time when the nuns took the 3- and 4-year-old children on a field trip. They went to the Jersey Shore. And as the young children unloaded, they began to clamber up the sand dunes. They tumbled around and tried hard with their little bodies to climb over the tops of what must have seemed like mountains of sand. And when the preschoolers reached to the top of the dunes, they couldn't imagine what they saw. There was water as far as their eyes could take in, more water than they had ever seen before. So they ran down the other side. They chased the waves and stuck their toes in the ocean. When lunchtime came, the children were escorted to a nearby park for a picnic. And when they had finished eating, they begged to go back to the sand dunes. There was one child in particular, Freddie, who, upon arriving back at the sand dunes, sprinted and darted as fast as he could to get to the top. And then he looked out and shouted back to the others, "It's still there." You see, Freddie's life had been marked by disappearance after disappearance. And in his frame of reference, it was possible that the entire ocean could have vanished over a lunch break. Now, those of us gathered here have the knowledge that even when we're not looking, the ocean is still there. But perhaps we recognize some bit of ourselves and our lives in Freddie's concern. In some aspects, maybe we can be the ones who affirm the old adage, "You live in a different place, though you have never moved." We find ourselves racing up the proverbial sand dunes, trying to find something to anchor our faith with. Today we celebrate Ascension Sunday, a day when we remember Jesus ending his earthly ministry and fulfilling what had been promised through the scriptures. The Ascension isn't just an excuse for Jesus' absence on earth. Rather, it's a way of exalting Jesus, expressing who he is as Lord and Messiah, the one seated at the right hand of the Father. The Ascension isn't just about putting Jesus in a place for safekeeping until he returns again. It's about who Jesus is and who we are called to be as a result. Now, I imagine the disciples must have felt like they were a little bit awash at sea, afraid of being alone without their beloved teacher and leader. But they don't worry long, because Jesus promises them that they won't be left without the presence of God amongst them. In Acts, Jesus tells the disciples that they will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon them. And what do we know about the Spirit? We've talked about the Holy Spirit a little bit the last couple of weeks, about being a community of the Spirit, the Spirit who is the advocate, the comforter, the one who comes alongside. During Jesus' ministry, we saw glimpses of the Spirit. saw the Spirit resting on Jesus at his baptism. And then it was the Spirit who anointed Jesus to preach good news to the poor and freedom to the oppressed. That power, that Spirit is the one that is given to the disciples and to us. Luke speaks of a power that will bring change, a change of heart and mind, a power that has the ability to forgive sins, and a power that is one of blessing. Now, there's a consequence to this sort of power, and the consequence is upon receiving the Holy Spirit, we should expect to be called into a different kind of faith. If our faith is only a Pollyanna, sort of happy, cheerful, everything is great sort of faith, then what we are offering witness to is a gospel of perkiness, the bubbly gospel. And friends, that is no gospel at all. Admonishing people to be happy without attending to what lies underneath only creates a world of phony smiles and all the more desperation for a deeper connection and an anchor for the soul. It's a good thing then that Jesus offers something much more to his followers. He calls us to audacious faith, to deep faith, to connectedness with God. Jesus doesn't only teach his followers and talk about the things that have happened in the past, about how they have encountered the power of God through Jesus' ministry. He tells them, that's not all there is. You are called to be witnesses. The job is not yet done. The role of a witness is not a spectator sport. You are called to testify about Jesus, to be his witnesses in every opportunity. The ascension of Jesus is such that it changes our picture of God. God is no longer detachable from the human experience. Because of Jesus' ascension, God is revealed as approachable, as vulnerable, as one we can turn to in times of struggle and distress and temptation. This should be a source of comfort to us and a strengthening of our witness, since it is Jesus, risen and ascended, that assures us that any affliction that we might face doesn't get the final word, and that nothing can separate us from the love of God. Jesus promises that the Spirit will be with us, that we will not be left alone, that we are not without an anchor, a strong connection to God. The Spirit that anointed Jesus anoints us, breathes on us, breathes with us, surprises us. It's vastly more than we can imagine. And it is the Spirit that calls us to be a community set apart, bearing a different sort of witness to the world. So I hope that we can hear our own Freddies in our lives calling out, it's still there, as we recognize the work of the Holy Spirit in our lives. Thanks be to God. Amen. We have the opportunity to say, it's still there, in worship this morning as we affirm our faith. This morning we use the statement of faith from the Church of Canada, which can be found in your hymnals number 883. As you are able, I ask that you would stand, and together we will affirm our faith.